Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Okay man, we're recording.
Cool.
So, this is the last time we're ever going to say this in this way. Do you want to do it? I did it last time.
Ah, this is the part I'm not going to know it after. Is this episode 49 or 50? This is 49.
49. 49, yeah.
Welcome to the Story Studio, the podcast where an independent publishing company discusses the world of storytelling, independent art, and storytelling. Close enough. It used to be a hell of a lot longer than that, but we got that back.
Show for writers, filmmakers,
podcasters, comic book makers. Anyone looking to tell stories in a modern world. And hi, I'm your host, Daniel Wilcox, and with me is the other host,
Luke Condor.
See, this is sloppy. This is a sloppy way to bow out.
But this is okay. This is it's end of the year party. It's the end of the show party. So
I am people a bit listening drunk. Like I'm not.
Yeah. He's high on coke though. But so this isn't the last show. This is basically we've mentioned it in the last couple of episodes. I think so if you've been listening, you'll know. We are wrapping up this version of this show. We've been on about doing it for a little while anyway. Mm. We were coming up to episode 50. We've been doing it for 2 years. We were like, we need a fresh coat of paint. We need to jazz it up a little bit. Get I don't know.
Just make it fresh.
Clean the room. Yeah.
Well, we put it all together on a budget. We kicked it off kind of not knowing what we were creating and just enjoying what we were doing. And I think we're ready, you know, to take it to the next level. You know, we've had a few cinematic dates. We've been out on a few meals. I think now's the time to come back to our place and maybe slip into something a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. We're like the Pokemon.
Like
I know you're the Pokemon, Dan.
What Pokemon?
We've evolved. We're going right. From
I thought you meant a specific Pokemon.
Well, it depends. So we're like Pikachu and we're evolving into Raichu. Or you could say we're like Pokemon Red becoming Pokemon Crystal. That, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a fair jump.
Okay. So today's episode is going to be just us kind of saying goodbye to what the show was and talking about stuff we want to do in the new show and what we're kind of looking forward to doing. So before all that, Dan, how's the writing going?
Yeah, the writing's going okay. It's a lot of reading and a lot of editing. So at the minute, it's just working through edits of book one of my series, which I'm coming up to the end of the edits for that. And I'm also sort of a good chunk of the way into book two. So just kind of rolling. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading lately, more so than writing, I think, just to kind of fill up the creative well. And have a little bit of a break because it's kind of been flat out for the last few weeks. But yeah, enjoying it. How's all with chores, writings?
Yeah, so I finished editing my kind of final draft of what's it called, The Frio or The Turing? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called yet. But that dystopian horror novel I was writing. And then you know when you finish a project or like you sign off on it and you're like, I'm done with that now. And then you're kind of like half into the next project, but you, your mind's not quite there yet.
You don't want to commit.
Other things coming up. Exactly. You don't want to commit. That's it. And then there's also like, you know, the like podcast production tasks pop like there. So there's all like the daily stuff to do. My mind is just goop. My mind is completely just gooped out. Like when, just like an hour ago, I sat here on my kitchen table getting ready for this. And I was like, I'm just so foggy. I just feel so foggy right now.
Yeah. I think sometimes you just need that though. It's weird, isn't it? Because you kind of feel like what you want to do is finish a project, have a day, and then go into another project. But there's so much that tries to drag you back into the, no, let yourself rest. Or what about this one? What about this one? And it feels like such a heavy commitment to kind of go straight back into, right, this is the next project. Because what if it's a waste of your time? Which obviously, if you continue with stuff and you finish it, it's never going to be a waste of your time. But yeah, I feel you.
So it was coming up to like the last week of March next week. And I was thinking, okay, so what I'm going to do, it's coming up to the end of the first quarter of the year. I've actually done quite a lot. I've ticked off nearly half of the stuff I had down for the year. So what am I do instead? What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a week and I'm going to read a load of nonfiction. I'm going to watch a load of like inspiring, you know, listen to all my favorite inspiring podcast episodes and get myself back to that sort of refreshed, ready, pumped
up. Sylvester Stallone on the meat sack.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, because we always do this at the end of the year. Like, I'll always take a bit of time to sort of get myself jazzed up again about writing. And I'll go into the start of the year. And then by this time, I'm kind of tired again. So I kind of feel like every quarter, I need to have just a quick, maybe 3 or 4 days of not worrying about being productive, but filling up the well and getting ready to go again.
Yeah, I completely get that. It's I think it's just one of the things. I mean, it might be worth in your nonfiction binge to actually go back through the War of Art, Stephen Pressfield, because obviously a lot of that's all about the monster that tries to drag you back into the doing nothingness. Because I think we've mentioned this a few times before, how easily you can kind of go from, I'm going to take a day off, to, oh my God, 3 weeks has passed and I've done fuck all.
Yeah. So, and then you start to sort of drink, and then you start to do drugs, and then it goes to hell.
Then you jitter and you end up in a gutter. And that's just a circle of life, and I think that's healthy.
I like how in that book he says something about all abusive relationships, addictions and stuff can all be traced back to resistance. Like people just sort of putting up what they should be doing and then ending up, you know, doing coke or whatever.
It's a very deep book.
But, it's good though. You definitely need to read it at least once a year.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Got it.
Yeah. What else are you reading? Because I know you said you're reading your own work in the edit, but are you reading anything else?
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of at the minute, I've realized that I've got 6 books that I'm currently reading according to Goodreads that I'm trying to tick off. So I've got less that I'm juggling between. So I've just finished Mark Edwards' Because She Loves Me, which was actually a recommendation from my mother. But also when I was in London and I met the wonderful Paul Teague and Alison Ingleby, who will be a future guest on the show, who will kind of touch on a little bit about what happened with that interview in a minute, I think, because we need to acknowledge it. But they brought up the psychological thriller stylings of Mark Edwards. And the book's fantastic. It's racy, it's earthy, it's first person, so you kind of really get gripped into the seat. But then I'm also at the minute reading Simon Sinek's Start With Why and finished Fahrenheit 451. Just a few other ones. So I'm trying to just, I wouldn't say race through them because I'm conscious that I don't want to just speed through and not absorb the prose, but I'm trying to sort of just get through my list of the things that I've been reading. But
tick the box about actually absorbing it. I know what you mean.
They're all good. So at the minute I'm working through Start With Why as my nonfiction book of this week, which is really, really good. Big fan of Simon Sinek.
Yeah. I saw the TED talk, or maybe it's like a TED equivalent, but, he talks about Apple, right? I think that's what he focuses on. Yeah. It's really good.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It makes so much sense. And it's the kind of thing that it's very easy to forget. Mm. You just end up doing stuff and not Just because you, especially with like in the self-publishing world where it's constantly like, oh, you need to do Amazon ads, you need to do mailing lists a certain way. There's like constantly new stuff. You kind of always kind of feel like, oh, I need to do that, I need to do that. And I'm forgetting like why, like what are you actually aiming to do? Because
it's
easy to get swept up in that nonsense.
Yeah. And it's when you come down to, I don't know, you spend forever working on your blurb, which I don't know, say an author maybe spent an entire day working on their blurb. And while blurbs are obviously important and are a selling point of the book, are you spending so much time on that blurb that maybe you're not actually writing, which is what you should be doing because you want to be making those steps forward? It's constantly coming back to why are you currently doing what you're doing? Is it going to help your bigger why?
Yeah.
Because I think it's similar with planning as well. You can spend literally weeks, months planning a book, but is that actually going to get the book written so that you can hit your financial targets, your personal targets, anything else? What is it you're actually planning? Is it good enough?
You know what? You know, I think we've talked recently about what a morning routine is, where you asked me sort of what my morning to-do list stuff. Something that I do every single morning is I do write out in my journal, tell stories that I loved all over the world. And I think that might be like my ground zero why. That's everything sort of stems out from that bottom line, tell stories that I loved all over the world.
And you write that every morning?
Yeah. It's pretty ludicrous, actually, when I think about it. But it's almost just a habit now.
No, to be fair, I'm currently working on this isn't going to be my something cool. I've got something else. But I'm working on getting back onto my bullet journaling, which I did a little bit of last year, and I want to kind of jump back into that. And one of those is putting in regular reminders of what I'm doing. And I'm trying to work out what my big why at the minute is, because I want to tell stories. But at the same time, I think personally, my big why is to create a platform in which I can promote and help other authors. Because I ran my own business, proofreading, copy editing for 2 years. And one of the things that I very much found early on with that was that there's no easy way in for people. There's no sort of stepping stone. It's kind of all or nothing. You either know people or you don't. And I want to kind of help bring some people up and make that a bit easier. But I'm kind of fine tuning that at the minute.
Yeah.
So how long have you been writing down that statement for, that you want to tell stories that I loved all?
Maybe 2-3 years.
Wow.
Think about that, something like that.
Perfect example, ladies and gentlemen.
Start with why. Literally start the morning every day with why. Right. So big whoops. Have you got one? Whoop. You just mentioned it just then.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for that we have proofed and put forward to review the audiobook version of They Rot. So after what has been many, many months of being in the works with one of our wonderful narrators from the other stories, Justin Fife, we have finally sent off the audiobook version of They Rot to ACX to be finalized and hopefully published in the next few days, which I was actually going to ask you about. How long do they normally take to go live? Because you've had experience with this before.
I think it took about a week before. This was a couple of years ago now, though.
Yeah, it's been, 2-3 days? Yeah. So that's quite exciting. That'll be my first audiobook and also my first one with you. So we obviously have quite a big fiction audience with the other stories. So I'm actually quite curious to see how well this translates into possible sales.
We've got audio fiction fans, so let's see if they like it.
Give it a go. What's yours?
I've kind of got a couple. I mean, so when I left London and moved to Manchester, one of the big things that I kind of missed was that in London there's always something going on. So there's always like a weird little film festival, or you can always go to a cinema and find obscure genre films that you don't see in the big screen anywhere else. And as we moved to Manchester, I kind of missed that. But then, and I think I was at the point when I was kind of almost complaining about it. I was like, why isn't any, I'm going to have to do something myself. I'm going to put on my own film festival or something. And then out of nowhere, Starburst magazine were like, we're putting on a free film festival. Film festival number like 40 quid. A free film festival, and it's going to be obscure genre films, and it's going to be in Media City in the building next door to where I work. I was like, they've made the exact thing that I wanted. So
if you want anything hard enough, you just wish in it happens.
Exactly. So I managed to go in and watched Altered States by the Ken Russell film. Tremors on the big screen. I don't know if you've ever seen Tremors, Dan. It's
no, I've heard of it.
It's like the little worm thing, the graboid worms that attack people and eat people. It was a really, really fun B-movie creature feature with Kevin Bacon. It's really good. And what else did I watched a film called A Boy and His Dog. And it's a post-apocalyptic story, very sort of Mad Max sort of world, about a boy and he's got a dog and he's got a telepathic communication with his dog. And I was like, where did this idea of a man and a dog in a post-apocalyptic world come from? What is it? Why is that such a pervasive idea?
I honestly don't know, but
I kind of feel like when you're young and you're a boy and you've got a dog and like you don't have all the responsibilities of work and bills and council tax stuff, I kind of feel like men kind of want to go back to that. They kind of want the world to end so they could just walk around with their dog and not worry about council tax.
Yeah, I think there's something a bit I don't know, like fairy tale in it. Obviously a dog is the closest thing you can have to a friend that can't speak back. It would be a little bit different if it was a boy and his buddy named Clive.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't quite have the same ring because you like that mystique of the fact that a dog can't talk back to you. So you are still technically alone and you're clinging onto the last dregs of companionship.
Yeah. So in this film of Bonnie's Dog, it's, there's hardly any women left alive in this world. And the guy really wants to get laid. So he gets his dog to sniff out women for him. That's like the whole idea.
I'm so glad you said women.
Yeah. but he finds this woman and this woman starts trying to change him. And at some point, you're not going to watch it because it's a really old film. I doubt you can even find it very easily. But the dog gets in a fight and the dog's dying and it's starving. And the guy's like really upset. And the woman's like, leave the dog now. You need to move on with your life. And he kills the woman and feeds her to the dog to get him healthy again. That's how it ends. It ends with them like barbecuing this woman and like eating it. And then they walk off to like, I think I was the only one laughing. It walks to the credits roll as they walk off and they're laughing with each other to this like country music. I found it like really hilarious because it just came out of nowhere. I was like, the guy won't give up his dog for woman. I like it.
Did that feel like a satisfying ending?
It did at the time, yeah. Like the woman, she wasn't a nice person. Like she was a bit of a villain throughout the film. So it did make sense in the story. It's just one big joke.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so that's a big one. Oh, the other big whoop I was just going to say is I found an author that I really, really like. Called Robert R. McCammon. He back in the day in the 80s during the big horror fiction boom, there was Stephen King, Dean Koontz, and then apparently the third guy was always Robert McCammon. He was never as big as those guys, but he was always kind of loved. And then in the early 90s, he gave up publishing because he was kind of forced to just publish horror fiction and he didn't want to do it anymore. He was like, I want to do a historical fiction, I want to do fantasy fiction and stuff. And they were like, no, you can't do that. So he gave up and he came back 20 years, maybe I don't know, between 10 and 15 years later or something. He came back and started publishing again. So I've just been reading some of his work and reading some of his short stories now called Blue World. And he's a really, if you're looking for another author that isn't King, but you know, does that kind of genre stuff really, really well, Robert R. McCammon is a guy to go to.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow, the hardcover of his book is £60.
Which one is that?
Blue World.
Oh, Blue World, yeah. I think
I've seen someone else add to the list.
I think he's one of Keelan Patrick Burke's favourite authors as well. I've seen his reviews on Goodreads.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. There you go.
Yeah. So we better wave goodbye to the Story Studio. The Story Studio is no more. We're burning it down.
To the ground. Just to clarify for people as well, we will still stay on this podcast feed. We'll just update all the names and all the corresponding artwork, but you will still have access to the full backlist here. You won't have to do anything. Just stick with us. It'll just be a little bit of a change in format and a bit of a change of name and colour.
Yeah. So maybe we should start by saying why we're changing the name. And I mentioned before that because we were, you know, wanted a fresh coat of paint, but then like, we were kind of nudged a little bit along as one of our favorite podcasts changed its name to something very similar. Very, very similar. So we were like, okay, well, that's kind of like, you know, the writing's on the wall then. So we should change now.
It's kind of like when you're a couple of months away from picking which university you're going to go to, and then your parents announce they're moving anyway.
Yeah.
So you're like, we were kind of heading this way anyway, but it kind of gives that extra boost. And to be fair, we have big respect for the people that are also going for a very similar name. And we kind of wish them the best of luck with it. But I'm very, very excited about actually just giving it a bit of a refresh. Like you say, we've been doing it for 2 years nearly.
It's just under 2 years, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you'll agree that we're kind of finding a bit more of our vibe with this new updated refresh?
Yeah, I think so.
That was the most least confident answer ever. I think so.
I had a gulp of iron brew and, you know, you get an iron brew burp. It's
So we'll be as classy as ever, but we will be looking at ways to try and draw you guys in a bit more. One of the things that me and Luke are very, very keen to do is to get a lot more community involvement, get some more of your questions in. Obviously, one of the benefits of this podcast is we do speak to a lot of pretty incredible talent. And we want you guys to ask questions. We want to be able to put your stuff forward, get more of your insights, a bit more of your input, and start feeding you into the show more. So we've got a few ways we're going to do that, but I also don't want to steal the show from your notes. So if I'm...
No, it's going well, I was going to say the same thing. So I was going to say what we mentioned earlier on Slack was, we want to sort of focus on like community and sort of building a club, sort of a club of people telling stories, and not just writers and not just self-publishers, you know, traditional publishers, filmmakers, game developers and that kind of thing. I've been talking to a guy recently who wants to make interactive fiction. So that'd be interesting to maybe talk to people who are doing that kind of thing, just to get, you know, there's a whole wealth of people out there that we want to talk to.
And I think when we first kicked off, our why at that point was we started the podcast originally so that we've never lied about it. It's always been quite selfish intentions. We wanted to speak to other people. We wanted to network. We wanted to create a show while we were learning from pros. At the same time, we give people the opportunity to listen to that. And I think in 2.0, that is twisted a little bit more into the whole community vibe. So while we'll still be speaking to some top-notch talent, it will very much be more about hearing from you, getting your voice involved, because we do a lot with the other stories, which in case anyone doesn't know, that's our other podcast, check it out. But in terms of feeding in comments, reviews, things from that people get in touch and say, but we want more of that. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah. One of my favorite podcasts is The Movie Crypt, and they do every week they do Hollywood Therapy, where they get people to the audience members to sort of send in stuff that's like concerning them, or, you know, if they're having issues with the writing or something, that they'd send in a question. And then the two main hosts and the guests will have a little conversation about, you know, ways that they can fix that. A bit of a, what do you used to call those things in newspapers? You know, where they, dear
agony aunt.
Agony aunt. Yeah. So something like that, but like, you know, storytelling related. I'd like to get something like that going.
Yeah, definitely. I think I heard on a couple of the Tim Ferriss podcasts where he'll just have live questions. It'll feed between his guests and himself.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But well, yeah, more of that good stuff.
Also, keeping in the idea of like club mentality, what about getting like stickers? You know, people can put on their laptops and stuff and say, you know, I'm part of the club.
Part of the club.
T-shirts as well. We mentioned that. Club.
Yeah. So we're looking at merch. We're looking at sort of offering more of what we do to you guys, because, like I say, I feel like we've got some good inputs, we've got some good insights, we speak to some awesome people. So let's draw y'all in. And I think t-shirts are a really cool way to go too. T-shirts, stickers.
You know
what else?
Mugs. So kind of feel like if you
posters,
stress
balls.
Yeah, some sort of like mug that has like inspirational message on it or something. Not the one that I've had the one for three years now. The one that says "keep going, you shits," and that's inspired me for a long time. But you know,
yeah, I think that's my favorite mug ever.
So yeah, if any of this stuff is like people listening, they go, "I want a sticker. I want to be part of the club." Then let us know, and we'll put you down.
Boom.
What else? So, but let's go for my notes quickly. I think we're...
Have we announced a new title yet? Are we doing that now? Or are we doing that?
May as well do it now.
Should we do it now?
Yeah.
Cool. Over to you.
Well, we're going to call it Hawk and Cleaver's Massive Storytelling Podcast. It's a bit of a play on...
As voted for
by people in the Facebook group. But it's a bit of a play on my old podcast, Luke's Massive Storytelling Podcast thing. And then the Story Studio had a bit of that vibe, and then now we've reclaimed it, and I think it makes sense, I think, right?
Yeah. To be fair, I think when we first started, I was listening to your podcast, and did you carry it on a little bit while we were still doing the Story Studio to begin with, or had you sort of dropped it by that point?
I stopped it by that point. I tried to do a few episodes on that, but I was like, why am I doing this? The Story Studio is kind of where it felt like doing the same thing twice.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's a lot more enjoyable for me, I can imagine, because I can't imagine doing a whole show just by myself, but it's much more enjoyable kind of doing it with someone else. And I think that we've got a lot of the same thoughts, a lot of the same mentalities. We vary slightly on the different guests, which I think is good. And it does kind of, it makes sense to do a little nod back to the roots of where it all began, which was obviously when you picked up the mic, what was that, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. 3 years. In fact, I think it was 3 years ago, pretty much exactly.
And wasn't that podcast pretty much the roots of Hawk and Cleaver?
Yeah, it's because, so from that podcast, Ben Arrington got in touch with me, and then I helped him publish his first little short story on Kindle. And then Skip, Matt Butcher, did the same thing. And then we started to publish together. We were like, why not, you know, put a brand behind it, a name behind it, Hawk and Cleaver. And then Dan came on from there. Yes, it all kind of started from that podcast.
There you go. Perfect. Hawk and Cleaver's Massive Storytelling Podcast.
Yeah. So trivia, Dan. Would you like some trivia?
I love trivia. Was that the first question? Yeah.
You got it right. Okay, and the second question. Which episode is our most downloaded episode of the Story Studio?
Oh, I felt like I knew this. Is it the episode with Michael Andale?
It is, and I thought you'd get that one right, so I thought, all right, let's make this a little bit more difficult. Notching up the difficulty level. Our second most downloaded episode.
Yeah, Michael's got a big fan base.
Yeah, exactly, him. Yeah. Our second most downloaded episode. What are you thinking? who was the guest on that one?
I mean, my gut would go towards another Michael Andelay associate, but I think I'm going to go for Nick Cole.
I'm afraid not. It was John Cronshaw.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he's a second most downloaded episode.
Fantastic.
Okay, and the final question.
Good old John. Met him in London.
The final question for the money, for the prize money.
to be allowed the spot of co-host on the Massive Storytelling Studio.
You know what? I forgot what the actual answer is. Let me just have a quick look.
Insert ad break.
Okay, I'm ready to go. What was episode 25? So what was the halfway point? Without looking at the feed, as I've just done, without getting that up.
Episode 25.
I'm listening for typing. Okay. If I hear you typing any, points will be deducted.
Oh, that's difficult. Episode 25. I'm trying to think of all the guests.
We've had a load.
We've had quite a lot. I will shoot for. Will it be John Late and Chris Sides?
Wonder where they were. So no, it's not that one. It was editing for Indies with Clark Chamberlain.
Oh, I don't know what Clark.
Episode that. Oh, that was episode 5. That one that you're thinking of. No, it wasn't.
No. Well, I was well off.
Completely wrong there, but it was pretty early on though. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Who is I don't know if we were supposed to say this, but what's been your most enjoyable interview?
I think the ones that I really like are the ones where I'm kind of super nervous going in because it feels like I've achieved something and we come out on the other side. So the most recent one with Nick Cutter, because I'm like a big fan of Nick Cutter's work, especially now I seem to be very much into it. So Nick Cutter one was really good. I enjoyed talking to Harry Sheriff. You weren't on that one. That's the only interview I've done on my own. Just because it was incredibly relaxed because I'd met him in person and it just felt like we were continuing the conversation in person.
That's just a barrier down there.
What about you?
I think I'll put the disclaimer on and say that I've obviously loved every interview that we've had in terms of the guests that have come on, appreciate their time and just the lessons that we've learned. I'd say the one that sticks with me most, well, there are two that kind of stick with me most. The first one's Garrett Robinson.
That was great. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Pretty much because for me, he was sort of the first big star that I'd spoken to on sort of an author to author level. And he's doing some fantastic stuff now with his Nightblade epic. I say now, he's still doing some awesome stuff. And then the other one was Keelan Patrick Burke, purely because I don't think I ever expected to be psychoanalyzed on a live podcast.
I like those sort of episodes because...
Yeah, it was just a humble, very honest interview. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes with these sort of interview podcasts, it can become very like, here's a standard set of questions. Let's go through the runner and come out the other side. But like, I like the ones where it feels like we're learning and growing at the same time and we're discussing sort of bigger ideas that need to be, like, we need to dig into a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, I don't know, there's something, it's going to sound really corny. There's something magic about podcasting. But literally, if you look at how lucky we are to be able to speak across continents to people through devices in our computer. I mean, if we didn't have computers, me and you probably... Well, there's no way we'd be hosting this.
No. I don't know how that would even work. Well, Hawk and Cleaver wouldn't even be a thing without the internet.
Nope. I'd be at home, bored, playing game.
So I was just going to say, we did, my biggest pet peeve of this show has been Skype. Like, if Skype's not been like going all digital and sort of the signal sort of disappearing... for some reason, I don't know why that is, because sometimes we're talking to people like Nick Cutter, the signals with that, he's in Canada. That was amazing. That was the best signal I think we've ever had. And then we're talking to someone in like, you know, in England, the other side of England.
Surrey.
Yeah, Surrey. He sort of melts. But so Skype has been a big pain. And we did record an episode with, we've recorded two episodes, full hour-long episodes, where for some reason the recording software we use, part of Skype, has just decided to not work. Just like corrupted the file when it's like you can't get anything out of it. So it's done that twice.
For no reasons. We should be on episode 51.
Yeah. So twice out of, I think I've done about, recorded about 130, you know, episodes worth of podcasts now. So twice out of those 130 isn't too bad, but still, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to nod back, because I think I mentioned it briefly in the intro as well, this episode was also supposed to be an interview with Alison Ingleby, who is a dystopian fiction writer, who we will be getting back on to have another interview with at a later date. But yeah, good old Skype and Skype recording corruption just meant that's kind of out the window. But apologies, Ali, if you're listening, but we will get you back on and we'll have another chat.
Yeah, and we looks like we're going to be potentially moving on to a different service software, you know, sort of thing that might be more suited to what we're doing. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Okay, so you know when we move over to the new name, Dan, are we going to episode one again, or are we just going to go episode 50?
I think we should go one.
You think it should be a completely fresh start?
What do you think?
Oh, I don't mind. I actually don't mind.
Yeah, because I mean, we can go for one, which obviously is the fresh start, or go for the carry on so that people can obviously see there are a lot more episodes associated. But I'm easy. I think one makes more sense.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Yeah, so let's just go to episode one then. Yeah.
Done.
Massive Storytelling Podcast, episode one.
Yep. So what might be nice actually is if people are listening and they do want to either jump into our Facebook group, which is facebook.com, and then you can either search for Hawk and Cleaver, or it's just /groups/ Hawk and Cleaver. And just either pop us a comment, drop us a message, and let us know what your favorite parts of the show are/were. Because I know we're keeping a couple of the elements that we enjoy from this one. So for example, the quickfire round will be staying. And yeah, if there's anything particularly that you guys liked, you want to see more of, if there's anything that you didn't like that you're like, well, fuck that, let's get rid of that, then let us know, and we can, because it's all good to go. We've got a format in mind. It's going to be a bit more structured, like we say, a bit more community based. So it'll be good to get your guys' input and get that started.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, guys, I think that's the end of this show.
Yeah, let's not milk it for what it's worth, but we will see you on the other side at Hawk and Cleaver's Massive Storytelling Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio Podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. You day, anyway. Toodle pip.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.